Well, good morning, everyone. I'm just loving being outside this summer. I don't know if it's COVID-19 or what, but I have especially appreciated the outdoors. And so today I'm outside. I'm on location at a trail on a path. And some of you are probably immediately disappointed. I mean, you came to church so you didn't have to stare at me on a screen. And this will be, you know, kind of torture. For others, whether you are at home or elsewhere, I mean, hopefully this will be a value add. Well, I'm here on this path for a reason, but before I get into that, let me just kind of catch us up. For the past 10 weeks, we've been in this series titled Rerouting, and it has been such a fitting and applicable series for the season. And we've been on a journey with a group of people known as the Israelites and a man by the name of Moses. And God had delivered the Israelites from slavery. They were headed for the Promised Land, but now they have been on this journey for quite a few years now, for 40 years. And Moses was old. It was time for Moses to pass on and be with God, the God that he had followed for so long. And so Moses gathered all the people together. I mean, all of the Israelites. I mean, these were people who were afraid at times. These were people who worshiped the wrong God at times. These were people who grumbled and rebelled. They were jealous. They were stiff-necked. They were probably a lot like you and me on occasion, and certainly me. But God loved them. And God's dreams for the human race to be a loving community of transformed people rested on this group. Well, Moses realized that he's not going to be around much longer to, in a sense, reroute the Israelites when it was necessary. So we come to this kind of critical moment in this story, and Moses has this deep sense of urgency. He basically tells the Israelites, you know, I'm about to move on. We have been on this journey for 40 years together, and today we have come to a place where there is a fork in the path. The path has a fork in it, and you're going to choose which of two ways you will go. So that's really why I'm here. I mean, this is why I'm on this path. This path happens to have a fork on it, right? And this is a story about a choice that stands before every person. And it's a choice that gets made, I think, every day, countless times. This is found in a book of the Bible called Deuteronomy, and Moses had just summarized the giving of the law to the Israelites. And these are the words of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting with verse 11. So we're going to take a look at those verses together. Starting with verse 11, this is what Moses says. Now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach, right? I mean, this is not beyond you, Moses says. And then he goes on. He says, it's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so you may obey it, right? And then Moses goes on to say, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, right? Death and destruction. For I command you today to do three things, to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, right? And we'll come back to those three in just a few moments. And then comes the promise. Then you will live and increase, if you do these three things, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Now he's referring to the promised land here, the land that the Israelites would possess. But there is a choice, Moses says. If your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Again, referring to the promised land. So then Moses goes and he says these interesting words. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life, Moses says, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, right? I mean, these are the words of Moses to the people as he was ready to leave them. And I really believe that these are God's words for us today as well. And so here's what I want to do. I'm setting two ways before us, okay? There is a way, there is a path that leads to life, right? A path that leads to freedom and joy and purity. And it's simply about loving God and walking with him and obeying his commands. But there's also another path, okay? There's a way that leads to death, you know, caution, steep hill ahead, right? And this path leads to guilt and disappointment and regret. And I'm telling you, I know about both these paths, and which path we go down matters more than you or I might imagine. So this is not a casual moment. In fact, much like moments, as I in a sense want to call heaven and earth to witness this, that from this moment on, and this is how it would come across the Israelites, that you and I make every choice for the rest of our lives in light of this passage and these words. And by the way, to choose, to not choose, is still to choose. So Moses said there are two paths, right? And he gave those paths proper names. One path is called life, okay? There's a path that leads to life. Now, what does this path look like? Well, Moses, again, provides three indicators, okay? These indicators let you know that you're headed down the right path, okay? You've probably been down trails like this before, and sometimes when you come to a fork like this, there's actually a map, and there happens to be a map like this one over here. And on the map are landmarks, there are indicators, right? The map might show that if you go down this path, you're going to see a campground, or you're going to see a restroom, or you're going to see a playground, or some other type of landmark. Well, Moses, in a sense, gives three indicators on the map. These are like indicators that you are headed down the right path, that you know that you're going down the right path if you see these things. And here's the first one in verse 16, right? It says to love the Lord your God, okay? And this is the first, I think, and primary indicator. In fact, when Jesus had to summarize the whole law, including all the commandments, he summed it up by saying, love God with your whole being and love people, love your neighbor as yourself. He summed it up in love. And this type of love is not meant to be mechanical or a rigid thing. This type of love is meant to be a response out of God's love for us. One of Jesus' followers put it like this, and if you've found my teaching at all over the years, I've referred to these verses quite often. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, and one of Jesus' followers writes in a letter, he said, this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In other words, it's not that we can somehow earn God's love by what we do, but that God loved us and sent his Son, Jesus, as a sacrifice on a cross for our sins. Jesus died so that we might live, so we might experience forgiveness and life in him. And so 1 John says this is love, not that we love God, not as if somehow we could earn his love, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Then verse 11 goes on to say, dear friends, since God so loved us, since God gave and demonstrated his love for us, we also ought to love one another. In other words, our love ought to flow. It ought to be a response out of his love for us. It's not meant to be a mechanical or rigid thing. Obeying God's commands is primarily about love. And so the first indicator that on a map that you are on the path of life is loving the Lord your God. I mean, just look at the map of your life. Okay, that's the first and primary indicator. The second indicator, according to Moses in verse 16, is to walk in obedience to him. Now, walking in the Old Testament of the Bible was often a metaphor for a life of wise conduct. In other words, if you have a heart that loves God and you conduct yourself in a wise and holy way, then you walk in his ways. You walk in obedience to him. Then Moses has a third indicator on the map in the same verse, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Now, these are overlapping terms, and God gave this, again, as an indicator to help make love concrete, to make it real, so we don't somehow get vague or fuzzy or somehow sentimental about what love is. In other words, God says, here's how to love. For instance, do not give your ultimate allegiance to anyone or anything else besides him. We talked about that in the series. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath. Do not commit murder. Even in your heart, do not commit murder. Do not hold a grudge. Do not steal or lie or covet. Okay, these are all part of the Ten Commandments. It's an expression of God's love. So that's one way. Okay, these are all, in a sense, indicators on the map that someone has chosen the path of life. You know, love the Lord your God. Walk in obedience to him. Keep his commands. Then Moses said that the promise of going down that path is that you will thrive. You will multiply and have God's blessings on you. Again, this is not something you earn. It's not a performance deal. These are indicators that you're living life as God designed life to be lived. It's a response out of his love for us. And this path of life is very clear. Moses says, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's in your mouth, right? And it's in your heart. And I think that he said this because there's just some things in life that are obscure. I happen to own an iPhone, and the settings on that phone can be a little bit intimidating. In fact, every time there's an update, there's a possibility of new settings. For example, about 2 years ago, I learned that on certain apps, I can use the space bar to move the cursor to different parts of the screen. It's especially helpful when I need to quickly edit text or email. I mean, my mind was just blown, right? I had no idea this setting or feature existed on this phone. Some of you might be thinking, man, I had no idea that existed either. You're pulling out your phone right now, and I've really just probably lost you for the rest of the message. Well, Moses said that this is not an obscure thing. Love God, walk with him, obey his commands. It's really very, very simple. But then he says that there's an alternate path. And Moses calls this path death, right? I mean, you can see the sign, caution, steep hill ahead. And again, he gives three indicators on the map for this alternative path. The first one is actually found in verse 17, that if your heart turns away, okay, a heart that turns away is a loss of devotion. It's a heart that is not warm or tender toward God. It's a wayward heart. Then he says, if you're not obedient, right? A more literal translation would be, if you do not hear. In other words, if your life is filled with so much noise and you're no longer listening to God's voice, to his word. If you're not attentive toward God and seeking to learn his will and do it, to be obedient, then you do not hear. And the last indicator that this path involves is being drawn away to bow down toward other gods. And the key words here are drawn away. Moses knew that the Israelites did not intend to just march off simply to other gods, but that they could be drawn away. And I don't think that most people intentionally march off to, in a sense, other gods. We are drawn away, right? And we're drawn away when we allow ourselves to float, to drift, to be molded, to be conformed to the world. Some of you probably know what it's like to drift. Not actually far from here is a creek, and it leads into a river. And I've seen on more than one occasion what once appeared to be a weak limb or even a strong tree, and now it's just drifting along the surface of the water, right? The tree is being pulled away. It's being drawn by the current of the world. And some of you may know what it's like to drift. Maybe you've even appeared spiritually strong at one point in your spiritual journey, but you were drawn away. Well, Moses says that there is a consequence to that path. That consequence is destruction, he says in his word. It's a loss of life and community and every blessing that God longs to pour out on you. So Moses, in a sense, says, you have to choose. And it's urgently important that you choose the right path. And so Moses says, choose life, choose life. Again, this is not rocket science. It's one path or the other. A number of years ago, I bought a used entry-level road bike, and it's a faster bike compared to other styles on the market. But if I were cruising at high speeds along this path, right, and I came to a fork like this, and maybe there's a sign that says death this way, life this way, and if I had to make a quick decision, it would not be too difficult, okay? One way says death, one way says life. Even for the directionally challenged, this is not a hard call. Moses puts this in such stark alternatives, and he did not say you can choose life or you can choose death or whatever's behind that tree, you know, shrub number tree over there. He doesn't, you know, give us the option of blazing our own trail. It's either life or death. Why? Well, I think that sometimes the things we think that bring us life really end up bringing us death. And so Moses just wants to be crystal clear. One of the most unforgettable images that I've ever seen on a commercial to illustrate this was a woman by the name of Debbie Austin. Debbie, in the mid-90s, I think it was featured on a public service announcement about the impact of smoking and nicotine. Okay, Debbie started regularly smoking from the age of 13. Years later, she was diagnosed with what's known as laryngeal cancer. They removed actually her larynx, but she did not quit smoking. She was choosing, in a sense, death, in this case, physical death. And in the public service announcement, Debbie tells the camera, she says, they say nicotine isn't addictive. And then she takes a cigarette, she holds it to a hole in her throat and inhales the smoke. And this is followed up by her saying, how can they say that? As smoke floats, drifts away from the hole in her throat. Thankfully, about 4 months later, after the release of this ad, Debbie halted a 3-4-pack-a-day habit, but it was too late. Debbie continued to battle various forms of cancer until she passed away in 2013. You have to understand, sometimes what we think will bring us life, even at a young age, ends up bringing us death. And I think, I mean, that's just smoking, but in far more significant ways, I know that I can do this. The last few weeks have been just a revealing season. God has been at work showing me things about myself that I've needed to look at for a long time. There's some experience and decisions which stem as far back as childhood, things related to fear and approval and so on. It goes way back, and it's so deep, but it's been so helpful and renewing. But it can be so destructive if I left those things go unchecked. I mean, this is by way of confession. I actually feel vulnerable about this. I've been thinking a lot about the history of my life, and I remember a time when I was in school and wanted good grades, and I was taking a test of which I did not know all the answers to, so I looked at the person's paper right next to me. And you have to understand, this was not an accidental glance, right? It was deliberate. Well, the teacher figured this out, she brought it to my attention, and then there were some amends that had to be made. But out of fear and the need for approval and recognition, I tried to appear smarter rather than have integrity in that moment. I mean, this is an indication of what path I might be on, right? Of death. Well, Moses gave the people these commands about integrity, and God also gave them to us. And maybe for some of you listening right now, I mean, you've been dishonest in some areas of your life and you've not dealt with it yet. Maybe you've lied outright or been subtly deceitful. Well, it's deceitfulness nonetheless. Some of you may need to contact someone, maybe even today, and say, you know, I've been dishonest. I need to change that. I want to change that. Do not be drawn away. Do not drift on this one. You are headed down a path that looks like death. And although it may involve a painful and difficult conversation that feels like dying on the inside, you need to say, today, God, I'm going to choose life. In this moment, I'm going to choose life. For some of you, it may involve your financial life. And again, there's a fork in the path, right? And there are two ways of dealing with your finances. The Bible is quite clear about this, okay? There are commandments about tithing, giving to the work of the Lord, okay? This, again, not meant to be a mechanical thing or a rigid thing. But I think often 10% of income is often a good starting place for people. Moreover, we're to give generously to the poor. Moses gives all kinds of commands about this, like leaving grain in the fields for those who are hungry. I mean, that's what the application of this would have looked like in their culture. There's also to be what was called a year of Jubilee, right? The year of Jubilee is when the whole economic playing field was to be leveled. I mean, wealth redistributed and poverty eliminated. Now, I might struggle with that concept, right? But to give generously toward God's work and the poor are just indicators that we're on the path of life. But there is an alternative, right? You can go the other way and clutch to what is yours. You can choose not to give toward God's work and the poor. You can choose to make your life about always getting more and more or spending more and more on other things. But this is exactly what Moses meant when he was talking about being drawn away. It's a way of the clutching heart, the scheming and coveting of the heart. And minimally, this looks like, or at least has the appearance of, one who's headed down the path of death. And maybe for some of you financially, I mean, you've been choosing what looks like death, and maybe you've been hoarding or drifting into less and less generosity. Well, be honest about it, right? Maybe you need to approach God and say, God, I'm just through choosing what looks like the path of death. And today I'm going to choose things that are on the path of life. For some of you, it may involve your relational life. Maybe you're carrying a grudge. Maybe someone has hurt or wounded you and you're in a sense murdering. I mean, just killing that person in your heart. There's a sense of bitterness, a sense of resentment that's growing in you. Well, not only are you killing that person, you're also killing yourself in the process. And you can continue to carry that grudge, that resentment, if you want to. Or you can choose a different path. You can choose the path of life, which entails forgiveness. It may be a process, but you can choose this path. And you can begin by laying down that grudge at the foot of the cross, just laying it down before God. Maybe you're in a relational avoidance mode. Maybe some of you need to speak some truth and love. I mean, you need to confront someone, but you've been withdrawing inside and pulling back from taking that step. Well, you cannot do that. It's not only important for you, right? It's important for the other. Some of you may be gossiping and cutting people down behind their back or maybe in front of their face, right? This is not only death for yourself, but it's death for the relationships. It can also be death for the body of Christ, for the church. Moses taught about every area of life, including these things and so much more. He taught about remembering the Sabbath, right? To frequently cease from constant work and walk with and worship God. He talked about not misusing or abusing the name of the Lord. He taught about not giving your ultimate allegiance to anyone or anything else, but giving your life to Him. Then Moses said these words, and these are the words really that I'm saying to you, to all of us right now. I call heaven and earth to witness this. And witnesses are needed for moments of great importance, not for casual things, right? In the signing of a treaty or the making of wedding vows, witnesses guaranteed that what happens will be remembered. So Moses, in a sense, says to the Israelites, I'm not going to be around much longer. I'm about to move on. We've been on this journey together for years. But today we have come to a place where the path has a fork in it. There is a fork in the road, right? And you and I, all of us, have a choice to make. So in similar vein, I set this day, with heaven and earth as witnesses. You can choose the path of death if you want to, and all the indicators that you're on that path. Or you can choose the path of life, and all the indicators that come with this path. Keep in mind, there's eternal significance and destiny at stake here. And to not choose is to still to choose. It is to choose the path of death. So for the Lord's sake, for the world's sake, for the sake of your own soul and others, choose the right path. Choose life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, your whole being. And love others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love him. Walk with him. And obey his commands. Amen? Let's pray. Just with eyes closed and heads bowed, you know, maybe this is the first time that you realize there's a choice before you. There's a path called life and a path called death. And maybe you've been on this path called death and you've been living a life apart from God, but you're at a point where you want to get off that path. Well, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I mean, just between you and God, I mean, you can respond and simply say to him, God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for my sin, but thank you for your offer of life. Thank you for your son's sacrifice on a cross for the forgiveness of my sins. You died so that I might live. And so please come into my life, make me new, help me to live the life that you designed for me to live. If that's you, I just want you to take a moment and express that to him. You can start down that path of life right now. Others of you may be on the path of life, but your mindset, your choices have looked a whole lot more like death, right? And I'm wondering, would you be honest about that? Maybe you need to start by approaching God and say, God, I confess I've been living life in a way that does not reflect this path. My heart has turned away. I've been disobedient. I've drawn toward other things that are not of you. But now I choose life. I choose life. Help me to live the life you intended for me to live on this path with you. Father, we just thank you for just these moments together, God. We thank you for this reminder from your word. We thank you for forgiveness and grace. And may our hearts be warm and tender toward you. Give us just the ears to hear, God. Help us to be attentive toward you and be seeking to learn your will and then do it, be obedient. Help us to love you, to walk with you, and to be obedient with you. And we pray this in your son's name, the name of Jesus Christ.